If you listened to this entire episode without getting mad at us, love you even more.
Props.
If you did get mad at us, but you still listened, you're awesome.
Yeah.
If you did get, like, triggered or mad about something, maybe that's a sign that that's a place to challenge yourself.
Welcome to the Sensory Project Show with Rachel and Jessica. We're here to share all things sensory, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, and overall health and wellness from a therapist's perspective, providing raw, honest, fun ideas and strategies for parents and families to implement into daily life. Thank you so much for joining us. Oh, and we wanted to remind you guys that we have our membership site, the Sensory Project Club, and it is alive and thriving. We are sharing resources, handouts, templates, guides, how-to videos. Oh my word, we could go on and on because we are sharing all the things with our members. So if you want to become a member, just go to thesensoryprojectclub.com and get signed up. We cannot wait to see you guys in there.
Just a quick reminder before we get started. If you haven't listened to our interview with Alex Doman from Advanced Brain Technologies yet, you need to check it out ASAP. Because after we interviewed him, we teamed up with him and his team to bring you guys a special offer on any of their products, including the listening program. Just head over to our website, thesensoryproject.com/pages/podcast to get started today. And then you can use our code, thesensoryproject, for a discount on any of their programs. We're both certified providers and can help you experience the amazing benefits that come from ABT's programs.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Sensory Project Show. And if you're new here, welcome. If you've been here before, hi.
Well, welcome back to our episode all about screen time. Now don't get scared.
Don't click out of this episode. Listen to it. Let it marinate. And we just want a disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are our own, as well as some research that we will cite. And you do you. Just at the end of the day, you do what works best for you and your situation. But we want to give you all the facts.
Yeah, we just want to give you all the info so that you have it if you want it. Mm-hmm. And you do. You want the info.
You want it. I got it. You want it. I got it.
Exactly. So, first of all, you should know that we all love sitting down to watch TV. Mm-hmm. I love watching TV.
I love me a good Netflix and chill sesh.
Logan, my kid, loves watching TV.
He does.
So, we all love it. I mean, you know, there's probably some people out there who don't. But most of us do.
Yeah. Now, the fact that we love it, it's great, but we've also heard all the research stating that it affects our brains negatively.
It also can affect our sleep and even our relationships with our peers, our family members, our children.
Mm-hmm. And it definitely affects our children's ability to communicate and complete just daily life tasks, which we call ADLs and IADLs.
Yes.
In the OT world.
Yes. So there was a study from Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center published in JAMA Pediatrics showing concerning evidence that brain structure may be altered in children the more that they use screen time. And so they used MRIs, and they looked at preschoolers and found that when these preschoolers were exposed to a lot of screen time, more than like the recommended amount of time, that it was associated with differences in brain structure that related to language and literacy development.
That's scary.
I agree.
And now with technology being everywhere you go, everywhere you look. I mean, when we were in elementary school, I remember we had these computer labs with these old school Macintosh computers, and we would be lucky if we could go do the paint app for an hour a week, mm-hmm. you know? And now everything revolves around the computers and the tablets. They're just...
And the phones.
Yeah.
Everything. All the kids know what the phones are. Mm-hmm. Half the kids know, probably more than half the kids, know how to use our phones.
Yeah.
But then we do.
Really young ages, mm-hmm. you know? And it's just, it's a different world these days.
Yeah, it is. Another study that we had actually talked about in a previous episode was that having the TV on in the background while an infant or toddler or child is playing can potentially decrease the language development and imaginative play. So we always recommend tell Alexa to turn on some classical music. So you've got some brain juice music in the mm-hmm. background that really helps promote development instead of just noise from the TV in the background.
Or even playing without any noise mm-hmm. in the background can be so beneficial.
Yes. Now, of course, there are a lot of great developmental TV shows for young children. I always loved Arthur growing up.
Okay, mm-hmm. all right. Logan was a big fan of the Mickey Mouse Schoolhouse. He also loves Storybots. You guys, Storybots is a really cool one because it uses like these little funny characters and they teach about all things around the world and different science type things. And it's a really cool learning show, not necessarily for infants, but for, you know, toddlers and preschoolers. Mm-hmm. So that can be a good one.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know any of the TV shows that are out nowadays, like any of the new ones.
There are really good mm-hmm. ones for sure. But I think, you know, just keeping it to a minimum is what we're going to be talking about. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. So as pediatric occupational therapy assistants, we are educated to promote more hands-on play, more movement, more interaction with peers and parents and individuals, caregivers, rather than spending time on the screen.
We already know this, that we learn through movement, and children especially learn with movement and play. That is how their brains and their bodies learn all the things they need to learn.
Yep.
Through movement and play, not on a screen.
And I know we're going to get some pushback from those who use, like, handwriting apps on tablets, you know, and
those are typing. Controversial for sure.
Exactly. And, you know, like we said initially, to each their own, but nothing can replace a pencil and paper with those apps, you know.
That's
nothing
true.
Can replace putting a toy into a container instead of drag and drop on yep. the apps, right?
Totally.
So those hands-on play activities, they promote things like praxis, so you're working on the ideation, the motor planning, execution, and reflection like we've talked about in the past. They promote so many things.
They promote body awareness and spatial relations. You guys, you cannot get the same brain-body-environment connection through an app or screen time mm-hmm. that you can in real-life 3D touching and moving around objects. There's no replacing that.
Mm-mm. No, that's, I mean, think about our ancestors. That's how we are designed.
That's true. That's why our bodies are built the way they are, is to move mm-hmm. and to interact with our environment.
Yes. So anyways,
now that half of our listeners have stopped listening,
we need to talk about what happens when your child becomes addicted,
quote unquote,
to screen time, and it causes meltdowns. Kids don't want to put them away.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot transition away from them. They throw fits when you say they're all done or they have a few minutes left. They ask about the technology non-stop.
Mm-hmm.
Can I use a tablet? Can I watch TV? Can I do Netflix? Can I have your phone? Can I watch YouTube? That's all that's on their mind.
It is, yeah. It's going to decrease their ability to do all the things we've been talking about. It's going to decrease their ability to do imaginative play. It's going to potentially decrease their ability to do physical movements and running and climbing and jumping. You know, we talk about primitive reflexes a lot, and I don't know if there's any studies out there, but we could probably assume that too much screen time could prevent primitive reflex integration. You know, we all have had that eye fatigue, headache, blurriness when we've been looking at our computers or our phones too much. So we know that our eyes and our brains get fatigued faster from all the light, the artificial light that is coming from our screens.
And think about our bodies too. Your shoulders, your neck, your posture. Everything goes when you're on a screen.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Everything. Same goes for the kids.
Yep.
So if they already have retained reflexes like the STNR, where their posture is already compensated, it's going to be even harder for them to move out of those primitive patterns when they're on technology.
Now, all these negative things, there are some beneficial things to screens, you know, because our world has incorporated so much technology into our everyday lives, it is important for our children to understand how to use certain pieces of technology, mm-hmm. but it doesn't have to be a lot and it doesn't have to be early.
No.
You know, and I think, you know, like we said, there's a lot of good developmental TV shows out there. There's a lot of good learning apps out there. But all of the research goes along with what we're saying here of, yeah, use it, but keep it to a minimum and just make sure you're doing all the other things.
Yeah, and if you guys were listening to our episode that we chatted with Rachel, the speech therapist, she talked about using the guided access tool on Apple devices.
Yes.
And that is a game changer in and of itself because they lose that power struggle with you, and it's the device that's saying, okay, you're done. You can't leave this app. This is the only app you're going to do. And then when the timer goes off, you're done. You don't have to say anything to them. You can give them their earned screen time, set all of the locks and guided access up prior to, and when it turns off and when it's done, then they're done.
Yep. Easy peasy. Then you're not the bad guy.
Exactly.
The tablet is.
The darn tablet.
Okay, so let's talk about some of our ideas for what you can do to help establish, you know, good screen time management skills.
Just making it a positive experience instead of always a negative one that you're dreading.
Okay.
So, number one, you are the parent, you are the adult, and you get to make the rules, believe it or not. I know this is hard with a lot of our kiddos.
It so is.
Who, especially kiddos who are nonverbal and who really thrive and live in technology.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also important to have a healthy boundary and a healthy amount of time on their tablets, because we see kiddos get sucked into these things, and it's up to you to kind of get them out of that vacuum world of screen time. So you set those expectations, you make the rules. Congratulations. Welcome to parenthood.
Yeah, no joke. For real. Your child is not going to like you all of the time,
mm-hmm.
especially when you establish these rules and these routines around screen time. They're not going to like it, mm-hmm. but that's okay. They don't have to like everything all the time. We don't like everything all the time either. That's just
Absolutely.
Life.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to be happy all the time. So it's okay for them to have those rules and to not like them, but they still have to follow them.
Yeah. And as parents, it's your job to keep them safe.
Yes.
And you are doing this to keep them safe. And maybe you explain that to them. Help them understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. So using a visual schedule can be so beneficial for screen time because our kids thrive on visuals. They thrive on routines and schedules. So if you can use a visual schedule to show them when they're allowed to have screen time, it can really set them up for success with all of their other daily activities.
Mm-hmm. A big one also is staying consistent. So if you bend the rules, if you say, okay, one more minute, if you do it this one time, then they are going to push those boundaries again and again and again.
Every time.
They are smart. They can be manipulative. And it takes us kind of relaxing and lowering our walls for them to pick up on it and be like, okay, I could get away with one more minute of Minecraft. I bet I could get away with 5 more minutes.
Mm-hmm.
If I really push.
Totally.
So try not to negotiate with them if you can. Give them the one rule and make that be that rule and stick with it. And I'm going to share a little example that I was observing from Jessica.
Because
as we're recording podcasts, Logan is here hanging out with us, her son, and they had talked about the preconceived notions of he was able to watch a show while we were recording podcasts. And she set that expectation from the beginning. And as soon as they got to our house, he started asking, "Hey,
oh my gosh,
can
asked
you watch
so much
a show?" And, and Jessica said, "Well, what was the rule that we talked about?" And she had him repeat it back. And no matter how many times he kept asking, she said, "You know what the rule is when we're recording our podcast?" And he kept asking, and she didn't budge. She said, "This is the rule. That's it." And she was kind. She was never upset with him, never mad at him for asking. It was just, "Nope, this is the rule. That's that. Take it or leave it."
I appreciate you making me sound like an angel parent. It's not always that way, guys.
I know.
We all have our moments. But today was, I mean, thank you. That was a good example. And you guys can do it too. And I think that's the trick too, is just you have to stay neutral. You know, you're frustrated because your kid has asked you 10 times in the last 5 minutes and you're starting to get a little bit frustrated. I get it, but just stay neutral. Maybe that would be the perfect time to give them a visual timer and say, "You know what? You've asked me so many times. I know you're anxious to watch your show. Let's put a timer out here and you can see when it's time to turn on your show instead of asking me again." So they can, because our kids have such a hard time projecting themselves into the future.
Yes.
They have such a hard time telling time, especially if your kid doesn't know how to look at the clock and read time yet. It can be really hard for them to be patient and wait, but this is a great way to teach that patience. And so give them a visual timer so they can see that, you know, "Oh, I still have a little bit of time. Oh, it's getting closer. Oh, it's almost time for me to watch my show." And then that allows you to do what you're doing without them asking over and over again.
Yes. So if you have an analog clock anywhere in your house, I don't know if people still use those these
totally
days, then you could draw a picture of the hands on the clock at the time that it's allowed for them to have their screens and say, "When the hands look like this on the clock, you can watch your screen." And
yes,
they can figure out when the clock looks like that and
match it. If your child knows their numbers, then you can say when the big hand, and you obviously would work with them to identify the big hand versus the little hand. So you can, you know, work with them to teach them that, and then say when the big hand is on the three, that's when it's time to turn your show on or play your video game. And then they can look and be like, "Oh, it's at the two. Oh, it's at the three. It's time," you know?
Yeah,
so
like that.
Giving them some of that independence can definitely be helpful, and it'll help decrease your frustration.
Yes. Another strategy that you could try is create a reward system with screen time. So they have to earn it, and set up a visual, set up a chore chart. So they have to complete the daily tasks that they need, and you check them off. And when they have a certain number of stickers or checks, or they reach where they needed to reach, they get to earn, however, 15 minutes of screen time.
This is great for school vacations. So spring break or Christmas, summertime. So, you know, they wake up during this time when they're not going to have school and they have to earn their 5 stickers by doing these set 5 things. And they do it and then they get their screen time.
Mm-hmm.
Great for the weekends too.
And then they have to go outside.
And then they go outside and play afterwards. I would include, if you do this type of reward system, I would absolutely include some sort of play as a requirement. So they have to go play in their room. They have to go play outside. They have to ride their bike or swim in the pool or do some yoga. You know, incorporate some sort of movement play requirement into this so that they get that learning movement first.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's some good ideas to help get you guys started. And you just have to be flexible and make sure that it's probably going to take a couple of times for you and your child and your family and your team to get on the same page. But make sure that you communicate what you're working on with screen time and screen time regulation with your child's team. If they have multiple therapists, if they go to daycare, if they stay at grandma and grandpa's house, make sure that you let them know, "Hey, this is what we're working on. Just so you know, please don't have the TVs on in the background. Please limit screen time and just, you know, be kind and ask. And
yeah, say like, I need your help.
Talk about to help why it's child. Beneficial. Yeah. And the goals that you're trying to achieve with this.
Yeah, for sure.
Now we need to talk about a little more of the negative stuff associated with meltdowns. Because we all know these far too well.
And it's going to happen. It's not going to be easy every single time, right? You establish your rules for screen time. You have your routine. Your child, you know, is getting into the groove of having, you know, screen time only at specific times or after specific activities. But it's not going to work every time. It's not going to be perfect.
No.
Every time they're going to get frustrated. And that's okay. But having some things in place to help them when they get frustrated is important.
Yeah, and the world is not a well-oiled machine. There are going to be things that pop up that are not unexpected and you can't prepare for. And these are some tricks that might help you in those unexpected moments when those things come up.
We already talked about, you know, you staying calm as much as possible, because when you are calm, it will help your child to feel more calm during the meltdown.
Yes, but if you get upset with them, why are you so mad? Why are you throwing a tantrum in Target right now?
I mean, it'll happen.
Yeah.
But try not to.
But you just get down on their level and you talk to them and you tell them that it's okay and you understand that they're upset and you're here for them and you want to help them. Mm-hmm. Then they're probably going to calm down a lot faster, mm-hmm. fingers crossed, but dragging them out with their arm, you know, their shoulder coming out of their socket, picking them up and saying, stop melting down, stop crying. Unfortunately, that just, it doesn't help.
It doesn't teach them anything, right? It teaches them that they're being bad, that you're mad at them. And then that, man, when someone's mad at you, how does it make you feel? Mm. You guys, let's be real, okay? If you know that someone's mad at you, it doesn't make you feel good. Mm-mm. So if your child is already having a meltdown and you're mad at them over it, oh man, it's just gonna make them feel worse.
And it almost teaches them to not recognize their emotions and tell them that it's bad to feel a certain way.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Yeah, you know, and we want to teach them that it's okay to be mad. It's okay to be sad. But we need to work on some tools that we can implement when we are feeling those feelings.
Yeah, because it's all about how you react, right? So if your child hits and kicks when they're mad, that's not okay. If they are mad and they go take a break, that is okay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So these are some really good ideas for, like, your kiddos who are a little more cognitively aware. They're a little bit older. They've got some verbal communication. But if your child is nonverbal, you know, lower functioning, they don't have the same language skills, then you're going to have to help them more by providing a calm, safe space for them to calm down.
Mm-hmm. So if you have a visual schedule or you're using a visual reward system, show it to them. Have it in your purse if you're out and about. Put it in your back pocket so they can remember when they can have screen time again or what they need to do to earn it. But again, try not to use this as a manipulation strategy, you know, or a negotiation. If you don't have a meltdown in Target, you can have your screen time.
Sure. Yeah.
Stick with the criteria that you set initially and it should help, but, you know, each kiddo is different, and we have to keep that in mind.
I think the biggest thing here is figure out what you want, right? You don't want your kiddo to be on the screen all the time, so figure out, okay, how much time can I give my kid? Is it 30 minutes a day? Okay, if it's 30 minutes a day, figure out when they're going to get those 30 minutes. Are they old enough? Are they cognitively aware enough to do a reward system to earn that 30 minutes of screen time? Or do they need that screen time as a visual schedule, you know, throughout the day or at different times as kind of almost a calming strategy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we don't necessarily advocate screen time to be calming, but it can be a little bit to just kind of relax and decompress. Mm-hmm. And so maybe your kiddo just needs that every once in a while. And so incorporating little pieces of it into the day might be helpful. you know, figure out what you need, what your child needs, and then create that consistent routine with the rules using a visual timer.
I was also thinking about using the first then pictures. So if they're a little bit younger, a little lower functioning, then you can use the first then. So they can see, first I'm going to play. First I'm going to go on a walk. Then I get my screen time. And so you can go throughout the day using that visual so that it can help them understand the anticipation and the expected actions and activities that they're supposed to do or they're required to do before they can participate in screen time activity.
Yes. And then I think just, you know, the last two things are just making sure your child gets movement throughout the day. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're watching TV, playing video games, just make sure that at some point during the day they're getting some kind of movement. Mm-hmm. Indoors or outdoors. They just need to move their bodies.
Yes.
We all need to move our bodies.
Absolutely.
So make sure you are too. Make sure you're getting movement in.
Yep.
Your day.
Definitely. I mean, we schedule our work days around movement.
And
we take sensory breaks while we're recording these podcasts, and we make it a point to record an episode and take a break and record an episode and take a walk. And that's just how our bodies are made to be.
And it's how our brains function more efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly,
the takeaway, give yourself some grace. We all have our moments. We need some space, and allowing your child to watch a show is okay while you're taking care of you. You have needs, mom, dad, teacher,
therapist,
whoever you are. You have your own needs, and you need to meet those before you can help anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So giving your child their own time with a screen, it might be what you have to do to get that done, have a little peace in your life.
I think a great example, I have two good examples, you guys. Last night, after dinner, I wanted to take a bath and read a book. And so I told Logan he could watch a show while I was in the bath.
There you go.
I was doing my self-care. He was doing his self-care.
Makes you a better mom because you're taking care of you.
There you go. The second example is right now, at this moment, we are recording this podcast episode in Rachel's Harry Potter closet while Logan is watching a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely. But you know what we did before we started this episode?
Ooh.
We swung him in a blanket and crashed him on my couch.
And it was great input for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good input for us.
It was. Absolutely. Yeah. So everything in moderation, everything in balance, and you're going to be fine. It's going to be fine. It's all going to be fine.
One thing at a time. Pick your most important battle and focus on that one first.
Yes.
And pick your battles.
Mm-hmm.
So we really didn't talk about, like, screen time in social environments or social activities, like screen time in the restaurants or screen time during grocery shopping trips. Because I will see that a lot where the kids are on the parents' phones or tablets during these different things. And my personal opinion, I don't personally like to do that because I think going out to the restaurant is a great time to work on social interaction. Mm-hmm. I think going to the grocery store is a great time for the kiddos to learn how to follow a shopping list, how to look at the different food items and pick out the food that you want and to pick out snacks.
Even if they're young, just to look around, see the different colors, the different people, visual vestibular input.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they're staring down at a screen sitting in the shopping cart while you're doing your grocery shopping,
they're missing a lot.
They are. They really are. And you know, that could be, I haven't found the research on this. There might be some out there, but there might be some sort of connection between, you know, screen time at a young age and sensory over-responsiveness or sensory under-responsiveness if they're not getting enough input from their environment or they're getting too much input from their environment while they're watching a show or whatnot on their phone.
Absolutely.
But it definitely limits engagement. They're not learning how to, they're not watching you interact with people and function. And children are watching everything we do.
Yes.
Unless they're on a screen.
Yes. So I think, or man, the other one would be like on a walk. You know, like going on a walk, or I'll see kids on their tablets at the park and I'm like, wait,
that defeats the purpose.
I'm confused about what's happening. So, you know, I think there's a time and a place for it. And maybe your child, the only successful way to get through the grocery store with your child is with them on a tablet. You know, do your best. You do what's best for you and your family. But, you know, just making sure your child gets movement, making sure they're getting social interaction so they can learn those skills. And you're doing the best you can.
Absolutely.
And just, I think that it's important to always strive to learn more and to try new things.
Mm-hmm.
So this is your friendly reminder. This is your call to action.
Oh, okay.
This is your call to action to try something new when it comes to screen time.
And try something that's hard.
Mm.
Try something that challenges you as a parent, as a person, challenges you to be the best parent that you can be.
There you go.
Even though it's going to be hard.
Absolutely.
Humans thrive with that.
That's true. Our brains get stuck.
Yes.
But you do thrive, and your brain makes new connections when you challenge yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I think that's about it.
That's all we got.
Yeah.
We'll link some stuff for you guys.
Yeah.
Let us know your thoughts on screen time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm super curious what you guys have to say about this topic.
Yeah, and if you can remember to leave us a review.
Oh, that'd be so great.
That'd be great. We would appreciate it. We look at those every day. Love it.
If you listened to this entire episode without getting mad at us, love you even more.
Props.
If you did get mad at us, but you still listened, you're awesome.
Yeah.
If you did get, like, triggered or mad about something, maybe that's a sign that that's a place to challenge yourself.
I agree.
Okay,
there you go.
All right.
Okay, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
We are so excited to work together and to help create confident kids all over the world and work towards a happier, healthier life. This is general information related to occupational therapy, pediatrics, sensory integration, and overall health and wellness. We do not know you or your child, therefore, we do not know any specific needs, therefore, you should always refer back to your pediatrician and occupational therapist.